14. Nathan. Nathan squeezed off another burst from his railgun, sending a handful of fleshettes slicing through a tentacle, severing it before it was able to grab Ike. Isaac took a step forward and launched a ball grenade at the alien creature. The explosive arced between a pair of tentacles whirling around the Relia's central mass, finding an opening and hitting the Jaxcluth's face. It stuck there for a second before Ike pulled the secondary trigger again, sending the remote signal to detonate the round. The grenade exploded, taking half the Jaxcluth's face with it. The creature groaned and slumped to the street.
"Almost there," Nathan said.
The pyramid was in their line of sight, the front steps and entries swarming with smaller Jaxcluth. A bigger creature was visible past them, roosting in the entrance to the building as if it were waiting for them.
"Hicks, is there another way into the building?" Nathan asked. "Through the garage," he replied. "Follow me."
Nathan stayed back while the Centurions took the lead, Hicks first among them in a standard wedge formation. The street in front of the pyramid was filthy with rubble, debris, and bodies. So many bodies. Some had fallen out of buildings crushed by tentacles, others had been grabbed and torn in half. Still others were half-eaten, their blood mingling with the dark ichor the Jaxcluth left behind, some of which had hardened into fibrous veins. It was horrific and disgusting, an apocalyptic nightmare that made the Trife invasion seem tame by comparison. The same scene was playing out in other areas of the city, too. Nathan could hear the alien creature's groans along with the screams. He could smell the blood, the smoke, the dead flesh. Were they too late? Was there anyone alive to save? Hicks guided them horizontal to the pyramid, aiming to bring them around to the side. They stayed one block over, using the buildings and the rubble as cover as they moved. "Tango left flank," Drake announced, his ATCS picking up the target first.
"Drake, Lucius, Spot, that one's yours," Rico said.
"Roger," Drake replied.
The three Centurions broke away from the rest, finding cover behind a burned-out car and a toppled wall. The Jaxcluth came into view a moment later, tentacles helping it cling to the side of a building as it approached. The Centurions started shooting at it, going for its central mass. It brought two tentacles over to cover itself, letting the limbs take the damage as it drew closer. Rico didn't slow her advance, trusting them to handle the creature.
"Spot, short bursts, wait for an opening," Drake said. "Lucius, two grenades into the wall, knock it down and I'll finish it off."
"Got it, Drake," Lucius replied.
Spot sent quick bursts at the Jaxcluth, forcing it to keep its tentacles raised. Lucius launched a pair of grenades ahead of the Relia and into the wall.
"Wait for it," Drake said. "Wait for it. Now!"
The Jaxcluth moved over the grenades and Lucius detonated them. The explosion blew out the wall and knocked the creature to the ground. At the same time, Drake's grenades hit the spot below it. He triggered them, blowing the alien monster to hell.
"Clear," Drake announced.
"Nice work,"
Rico said as the trio rejoined the group. They were nearing the corner. Hicks stopped to reset the path and pass it across the network.
"The garage entrance is there," he said, pointing to the side of the pyramid. "Probably sealed."
"We'll have to break it open," Nathan said.
"Pyro, Ike, and I will clear the stairs down," Rico said. "There's a bunker on the fifth subterranean floor. We'll head there, check on the survivors, and let them know about our plan. Then we'll head back up to the lab on the third floor of the garage. The interlink is there. Hopefully Hayden and his family are there with it. If they aren't, Pyro and Ike will work on making it portable while I look for the sheriff."
"We can't take forever," Nathan said. "Once we get the corridor open, we won't be able to hold it for long."
"And we'll need to get the interlink out," Ike said. "I hate to say it, but it's more important than Hayden right now."
"Agreed," Rico said. "But I'm not going to abandon them. Ike, once the interlink is ready, you get it out of here. Don't wait for me."
"Rico, Hayden is my friend too," Nathan said. "But this is bigger than him, and we need everyone working toward the same goal. If we lose the interlink because we're one gun short, we may lose everything."
Rico's expression was impossible to see through her helmet, but Nathan didn't need to see it to know she wasn't happy. Would she follow orders and stay with the group if it came to that? If he were in the same position, would he?